a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Then and now. Amen. If you found Matthew's 25th chapter, let us begin reading. Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, they are aroused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him.' And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. But the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.' So you too must keep watch.
Yes,
you too.
For you do not know the day or the hour of my return." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, it will stand forever.
Amen.
Yeah. Just for a moment, I want to talk about prepare for the midnight.
Amen.
Prepare for the midnight.
Amen.
A couple of Sundays ago, the pastor talked about the exit plan.
Yes.
So this kind of piggybacks on what he was talking about, that you need a plan.
Yes.
And the plan is the plan of salvation.
Amen.
So that no matter what time you exit, you're in good standing with the Lord. Here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus was talking to the disciples. If you read in the 24th chapter, like I say, when you get home, read that in your time. The disciples, after they had come out of the temple, they told Jesus, "Look at the temple." They were marveling at how beautiful the buildings were. And Jesus bust their bubbles by saying to them, "All of this that you see will be destroyed, completely destroyed. Not one stone will be left unturned." And so the Bible says that when he got to the Mount of Olives, his favorite preaching and teaching ground, the disciples asked him, say, "Master, when will all this come to pass?" And so Jesus began to tell them. He told them the signs in 24th chapter of Matthew. And that's why I say read it. He told them the signs of his coming back. What to expect before he returned. He told them that there would be wars and rumors of war. He said there will be false prophets, those that will come claiming to be the Christ. He told them that nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. Read the 24th chapter. And so he told them what the signs would be of his coming. But he also told them, he says, when they asked him that question, he says, when will this happen? They said, he says, no man knows.
That's right.
No man knows.
That's right.
Not the angels in heaven, not the Son of Man. Nobody knows but my Father when Jesus is going to return. So he tells them, he said, but watch. Several times in that 24th chapter of Matthew, he tells them, be alert. Watch. Stay on the lookout. If the thief come, he's going to come in the night when you're least expecting him to come. And if you knew when he would come, you would be prepared for him when he come. So he tell him, watch.
Watch.
Mount Olive, we need to watch.
Watch. Amen.
Yeah. When will this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, he tells them this parable. And a parable is simply an earthly story with a divine heavenly meaning, with a divine truth. And he tells parables twofold. One is that those who are really seeking after God, those who really desire to know the truth, those who really want Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, they'll be able to understand because they are truly seeking. And when you're seeking God, when you're truly seeking God, trust me, he's going to open up for you. The Bible says, seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Knock, and he said, the door will be open. Ask, and it's going to be given to you. So the parable is twofold. One, that for those that are truly seeking God, and then the other for those who are just curious. They're not really interested in the truth. But they're just curious. Curious.
Amen.
And some of them, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were seeking how they could entrap Jesus.
There you go. All right.
So they wasn't looking for the truth because they had rejected their Messiah.
Amen.
But they were looking for ways that they could entrap him, that they could bring charges against him.
There you go. Amen.
And so he spoke in parables. So that they would not understand. And you have people today. They're not for the right thing. They're not coming to church for the right thing. But they're seeking how they can ensnare you. How they can bring charges against you. How they can slander your name. How they can talk about you behind your back. Defame your character. That's what they're looking for. They're not really coming to seek God. They may not like you. And so they're seeking ways how they can bring you down. And God knows everything.
Amen.
Yeah. So the scene that we have is a wedding scene.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus said then, which refers back to chapter 24.
Yeah.
Then, the things that I've discussed with you in chapter 24.
Right.
Then, he says, he goes on to tell him, he says, then the kingdom of heaven. So he sets this wedding scene. And we all love weddings. Weddings are an exciting time. It's very festival times. And all our family and friends, they are preparing for weddings. There's a big celebration when two people become what? One. And that is God's desire for the church.
Come on now.
Yeah. His desire for the church, because he's the groom.
Come on.
And the church is the bride.
There you go.
And he desired that the two will become what? One.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
There you go.
That the church would be faithful.
Amen.
And committed, devoted to him.
Amen.
And represent him in the world. But the Jewish wedding, they had three phases.
Uh-huh.
One, you would go through the engagement. That's when the father of the bride would come and meet with the father of the groom, and the groom would bring in a dowry or a gift for the bride. And then they would make this contract, this agreement, that they're going to be married. And the contract is binding. And then the second phase is the betrothal. That's when the bride and the groom, they come together with family and friends, and they make their covenant vow before their family and their friends. And it's binding. But the marriage is not yet consummated. It's just a betrothal. You know, like Mary was betrothed to Joseph before the marriage, before when she was chosen to become what? The mother of Jesus Christ. And when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, and he knew that he had not been there, and he wanted to put her away, what, privately, with dignity, until the Holy Spirit spoke to him. That was betrothal. He knew he had not consummated the marriage. And then it's a year. They give the groom time to go and prepare to receive his bride. Right. He may have to build a house, a room onto the father's house.
Come on.
Or he may have to buy land where he can build a house. He may have to plow ground for the wife. He has to be able to financially care for her. Then after that year, he comes back to receive his bride. So he goes and he makes preparation. What that remind you of? Didn't Jesus say it in John 14 and 5, he says, I'm going, what, to prepare a place for you? And if I go and what, and prepare a place for you, what, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Come on now.
So he went to prepare for his bride.
Yes.
So we have a wedding scene. And now the bride is preparing to come. And the Bible says that we had 5 wives who brought their lamp and extra oil.
Come on now.
And we had 5 other wives who was foolish.
That's right.
They only lived for the moment.
Yeah.
And they were counting on the bridegroom, because the wedding usually in Jewish time started after 6 p.m. And what happened, the groom would make a procession through the villages to get his bride. And they would have their lamps burning bright, and they would go out through the villages, and all the villages would come out in celebration of this marriage. And so they were anticipating that Jesus would come at a certain time.
Amen.
And they did not prepare.
That's right.
They didn't prepare. They anticipate. They live for the moment. And we have some people like that in our churches. They're only living for the moment. They are not making preparations for their eternal destination.
Amen.
But they're living just for the moment. And so the Bible says that the bridegroom tarried.
Come on now.
Yeah, he didn't come when they were expecting him to come.
That's right.
Yeah. He tarried. And God always has a reason for why he do what he do.
Amen.
2 Peter 3:9 says, God is what? Long-suffering. He's not slack concerning his promises.
Come on.
He promised he's coming back.
Yes.
God is not slack concerning his promises.
Amen.
But he's long-suffering what? Towards us.
That's right.
Giving us the opportunity.
Amen.
Giving those that are unsaved the opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
And these bridesmaids, the foolish ones, they had an opportunity.
That's right.
When he didn't show up at 6, they could have went and said, well, let me just check my oil.
The
wise ones, they wasn't worried because they brought extra oil. They prepared ahead of time.
All right.
So they were ready.
Yeah.
Anytime he come, they were ready.
Yes, sir.
And my brothers and sisters, that's what we were talking about this morning. We were talking about you have to know that you know that you know that you're saved.
Come on now.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
Because when Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late.
Amen.
This is the dressing room right now.
Amen.
We're preparing right now.
Amen.
So you have to know that you know that you know.
Come on.
That you're saved.
Amen.
That Christ lives in you. That his Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Come on now.
Because the Bible says if we don't have the Spirit, we don't belong to God.
There you go. That's right. Amen.
And so here are these bridesmaids.
Right.
Still preparing. The Bible says they all knew he was coming.
Yeah.
All 10 of them knew that the groom was coming. And they all got drowsy and fell asleep. They fell asleep and did not prepare. And you have a lot of people that's sleeping in the church today.
Come on now. Amen.
They're sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Yeah, right.
And the bridegroom is on his way back. And he's going to come at an unexpected time. Time that you and I don't know. So there's no time to be trying to get ready. He said, be ready. Be ready. And so they slept. And the Bible said, at midnight. Midnight is between what? The day before and the day that you're preparing for the next day.
Amen.
Midnight in military time, it go to
0:00.
Other words, is 0 hours.
Uh-huh.
Which illustrate the story that you don't know when he's coming back. It may be midnight, 0 hours. We don't know. But it behooves us to be ready. It was at midnight when the cry went out that the bridegroom is coming.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, my Olive, my brothers and sisters, the bridegroom is coming. He's on his way back.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that those that were foolish ask those that were wise.
Come on.
Give us some of yours. And you know, they had their lamp, and the lamp, it represents the church.
Uh-huh.
And the oil represents the Holy Spirit.
Come on now. Amen.
They say, give us some of your oil.
Give us some.
But the five wives said, we can't do it.
That's right.
Now, somebody might say, well, you know, that was disgraceful of them. I mean, don't we supposed to love one another and help one another? But here they didn't want to share their oil. Because each one of us have the responsibility to be ready.
Come on. There you go. That's right.
Each one of us have to take the responsibility for ourselves to be ready.
That's right.
And so they told him, no, we can't do it. Can't give you. And the church is like that.
Mm-hmm.
In many of our churches, we have lamps, but no oil.
Come on now.
Amen.
Preaching, but no oil.
There you go.
No Holy Spirit moving.
Uh-huh.
Choir singing, but no oil.
All right.
We got lamps, but no oil.
Come on now.
Ushering, we got lamps, but no oil in our lamps.
There you go. Amen.
Yeah. Sitting in the pews, lamp, but no oil.
There you go. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
No oil.
No. Amen.
So the Bible says, they said, go.
That's right.
Get you some. Go buy you some oil.
Yeah.
But while they were gone,
there you go. Amen.
The bridegroom showed up. And the Bible said that they that were prepared, you hear me? They that were prepared.
Right.
Yeah, they that were full of faith. They, those that trusted in God.
Come on.
Put their trust in God. Those that were obedient. Those that were devoted.
Come on.
Those that were seeking him. Those that were expecting his return.
Come on now.
And so they prepared themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't wait.
They didn't wait.
And that's the sad part. All that time pretended a year. The pretext.
Yes.
That they had it together.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very night that the bridegroom came. And found out that they didn't have it together.
Yeah.
While they were gone, the bridegroom showed up.
Amen.
And those that were prepared were able to go in. And the Bible says that the door was shut and locked. The door was locked. So heaven, my brothers and sisters, is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Come on now. That's
right. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. So when the foolish returned, they couldn't get in. They were locked, knocking. They were saying, Lord, Lord, open up.
Yes.
And let us come in.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the groom said, I don't know you.
Amen.
I
don't know you.
None of us want that to happen to us. None of us. So I'm behooving my brothers and sisters and those that don't know Christ in the pardon of their sin.
Come on.
If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. You need to call upon him. He is available. He made the way.
Amen.
So that you could be saved.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father.
Amen.
So they were not prepared. So they couldn't get in. And it's going to be the same way with us when Jesus returns. And we are not prepared to meet him when he comes. It may be midnight. Maybe in the morning. I don't know when it's going to be. But I'm just saying to us, we need to prepare.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Be ready so that whatever time he comes, you'll go back to be with him.
Amen.
We don't have to be like those foolish ones standing outside knocking.
Come on.
Because it's not. It's only one place for them. And we also talked about that. And so, in order for us to be prepared, we have to first receive Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. There you go.
We talked about that. That's the preparation stage. Acknowledge that I've done wrong and ask Christ to come into your heart.
Amen.
That's the first stage of it. Acknowledge, admit, confess our sins. Yes, that's what the Bible tells us. We have to believe on him, acknowledge him, and then receive him into our heart in order for us to be saved. And then we have to continue in him. It's a continuation. Brother Newsom says you got to run the race. And you have to keep looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. There is no other one can help you finish this race but Jesus. So you have to keep looking to him. Keep calling upon him. Keep praying. Keep studying his word. Keep living a life that is pleasing unto God, being a living sacrifice unto him, which is our reasonable service.
That's right. Amen.
Offering ourselves, submitting ourselves to him.
Amen.
And so Jesus paid it all. He did it all. He is the bridegroom. Revelation talks about that. The bridegroom is coming. Prepare for the bride. Yes. And he's the bridegroom, and his church is the bride. My brothers and sisters, let us be ready when the bridegroom comes so that we can go back and be with him. Amen. The doors of the church is open. Yes. Whosoever will.
Come on. Amen. Let
him go. Jesus went to Calvary. He died for the whole wide world. Amen. He made the way.
Amen.
But we have to receive it.
Amen.
We have to acknowledge. He's not going to force himself upon you.
Amen.
You have to receive him. You have to call upon him.
Yes.
Amen.
All right.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. And I promise him that I will serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I am on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come once more again in your presence, God. We thank you, Lord. We come in Jesus' name. We come, Lord, praying for Helen, God. Lord, she says she want to give you glory, God. She want to thank you, Lord, for where you brought her from, God. Lord, how you lifted her up off her sick bed, Father God. She just want to tell you thank you. And we thank you for her, God. Then, Lord, we pray for her family, God, that they too, Lord, would get on board, God, realizing, God, that they need you, God. And without you, Lord, we cannot make it, Father God. So I pray for this family, God, that you, Lord, that your favor would be upon them, God, and that they would hear the gospel message, receive that message in their heart, God, that they might be saved, those who may not know you, God. And those who know you, God, we pray their strength in the Lord, God, for we know that everyday life, God, are ups and downs, Father, and we get weary along the way, but you are able to keep us, God, sustain us during those times. And, Lord, we just ask, God, we just ask that you would just continue to bless Helen. Continue, Lord, to watch over her. Continue, Lord, to fill her, Lord, with your word, God, with your spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And then, Lord, that she would be instrumental to her grandchildren, that she, Lord, in turn will pour into them the word, that they too may grow up in you, God, in the admonition of you, God, as she nurture them. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus the Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes, greater later. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to thank God for this day and thank God for all of you. Mount
Isaac. It's really going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.